Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Count Frederick Regula has been found guilty of torturing and murdering people in his castle at Andamyne.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello. And welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 571, mining the varied depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. Joined by Brian. Here, wear this mask. You won't feel a thing, Dunaway.
Oh, thanks. Ah! Oh, hi. Hey, have you guys seen where McDonald's recently released those Happy Meals for adults, you know, to allow us aging children an opportunity to relive our childhood? See that?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very nice. You can get one of the Big Mac. Mm-hmm. It's kind of big.
Yeah.
Or a 10-piece chicken nuggies pack with fries. Mm-hmm. And the best part, a little plastic toy made to last for the ride home. Sweet. Anywho, that gave me an idea for our own Film Sack throwback stunt. Introducing Count Regula, the spooky season cereal for aging children and movie lovers alike. Count Regula is a part of a complete breakfast and fortified with two scoops of bran to keep you Regula, and the blood fear of 12 essential booby virgins to give you the energy you need to live forever horny. And if you dig around inside specially marked boxes with your filthy butt hands, you will find one of four prizes: a drawn and quartered Count Regula puzzle. You can do it, Randy. It's like five pieces. A goblet of wine. It burns. An Edgar Allan Poe wind-up grave. Oh, man, watch him spin. Or perhaps you will find the 13th virgin. A tiny mirror just for you. So suck in your gut like a 1960s-era Hollywood leading actor and beg your spouse to pick you up some Count Regula at the store today. You lazy piece of old. Randy, that's a leg, not an arm. It goes in the lower part. Randy, just give it to me, Randy.
No, just stick it in the tree with the rest of the arms and torsos.
Yeah,
why not? Also with us, you heard his name. Randy, he's the backup 14th virgin if needed, Jordan.
Oh. Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Brian.
Randy.
Thank you for following me across town as I weirdly walk back to where I parked my carriage, which for some reason is all the way on the other side of town from this, Renaissance fair that I really enjoyed. Honestly, that was great. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I know. I look like Tarzan. Everyone says that. What's that? You're scared because the trees have limbs. I don't understand you. All trees have limbs. You know what'd be actually scary? It would be really scary if you were trapped in a dungeon where the walls were painted with murals like the Denver airport. That would be scary. How did those paintings even get there? You're telling me that Anatole painted those walls? I mean, who else could have? Seriously. Anyway, I was walking to my carriage, remember? Right. Okay. So what are you doing? You're handing me a letter? Okay. Unlike every other person alive, I'm going to stop, open the letter, and read it out loud to you, someone I just met.
I did like that part.
Dear sir, we've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. Ah. Oh, come on.
Ow.
Well, you know.
What a waste of a wax seal.
Yep, I agree. Dude, wax seals are cool, man.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so cool. With us finally, bringing up the rear, we got Brian. There's no greater death than a stop motion death, Ibbit.
Oh, gosh. No kidding. Or big bad guy killed by timer. Well, Anatol, thank you for your work in securing the 12 virgins and bringing me back to life with your green Vulcan blood. Now, there's just one thing left to do. Get the 13th virgin and complete the resurrection spell to make it permanent. Ah, good. I see you've captured the Baroness, but her blood won't work for me unless she's sufficiently frightened. Then we'll use her frightened blood with my series of bongs to make me immortal. I don't know, some arbitrary rule that I just made up. Anyway, Abyssal, I see you have the descending rack and the spike set up. Good, good. And the swinging pendulum, all right, and the pit of snakes. But it's 2022, and these things just aren't scary enough to get the results we need. We need new methods of torture for a new millennium. How about we put her in a room full of office cubicles, and then we'll have someone hiding in them clipping their fingernails. We'll drive her mad with torture trying to figure out the source of the noise, but she won't be able to. No? Okay. Advil, then how about we give her a brand new Samsung LED television, but when she takes it out of the box, she'll see that the styrofoam is broken, and after days of shipping, the little broken styrofoam balls will have been charged with static and will stick to everything. She'll try to brush them off, but they'll just float right back to her clothes, the back of her hand, everything. It'll take days to remove them all, by which time she'll have gone mad with torture. No? All right. What about if we torture her with endless repeating inane music? Baby Shark? The Macarena? Ah, I've got just the song. This will certainly drive her over the edge. Oh, gosh. It's not playing over the...
No, I can hear it. I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't hear it. Oh, so just tell me when it's over.
It's going. Still going. Happy little.
Yeah, okay, good.
Wow.
Did not check all of the loopback audio wiring before I did today's intro.
That was fantastic.
Nice.
I capped that
was great,
that
though.
Well.
Dr. Sadism.
Yeah, it was very good. Thank you for the sadism. The movie is called The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism, which is nothing like its original title, which is in German. Which actually means, let's see, Die
Strangelgrube und das Pendel.
There you go. Translates to
the snake pit and the pendulum.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is the Edgar Allan Poe book, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the pit and the pendulum. That it's really loosely based on.
Yeah. Loosely.
Here's how loosely. It has a snake pit and a pendulum, and that's it. Those are the two similarities.
It's not even the same pit and the pendulum that the character in The Pit and the Pendulum is tortured with. It's like,
yeah.
It's lame.
Yeah. Did you guys get nervous when he hit it with the rock and the pendulum started going wild and crazy? I'm like, oh, this is much worse.
Yeah, don't speed it.
You're going to get a gut cut, and now no telling what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Penis face.
Yeah.
I found myself getting less nervous as the movie went on because it felt like every set piece. And this is a horror film, right? It's a Sectober. We're watching horror movies.
Oh yeah, happy Sectober.
Happy Sector, everybody.
Yeah,
welcome to the first. Yeah.
And this one is just a series of scary set pieces, really. And as they go, you realize that none of them are going to pay off. Like at first, you're like, oh, I think they might actually, kill this lady. And then the next time, oh wow, they might actually kill the lead, right? Tarzan here. He's this, and then you realize, no, none of them are ever going to get killed. This is just going to, and it's, I don't know. It just like, it calmed me down. I found myself relaxing.
The only death
the danger is getting less and less. Yeah. The more I watch of this film,
it's a true story. It's not, you're not wrong. Is I kept worrying about Babette, but she showed up at the end, up at the end like, hey guys, man, what you been doing?
She would have made for, she would, for a while, and we could still call her the chick in the bucket, and it's ironic because she was almost killed by a bucket.
No, she was first, for all intents and purposes, because she disappeared, showed up, disappeared, and showed up again. Yeah. I think she still fits. She's in this.
I thought the driver was the chick in the bucket, because when they got off, it was like, he's not dead. I was like, what?
Yeah,
he's
where
not
is he
dead?
Then?
And then they just never came back for him. I suppose.
Yeah, that driver, poor guy, he's riding through there. They spent a lot of time with him gawking at the trees.
Time with all, like, it really, it could have been a 20-minute film if they just would have taken out all of the, now I'm watching the pendulum go back and forth for 8 minutes, and now I'm looking at this pit of snakes again.
The hour 24 too much for you? You needed it to be even less? It was pretty short movie to begin with. Yeah,
it was a short movie, but...
You wanted video length. You wanted thriller.
No, I wanted stuff to be happening during a lot of this time. And there was so much, let's just watch the characters. It was a reaction video is what it was.
It was.
We were watching a reaction video.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hadn't thought of it that way until you just said that. But that is exactly what this is. People in like the, 1800s. Looking all shocked at everything. That was it.
That's right. Exactly.
Reacting.
This is scary. Ooh.
Yeah. Now, for those who don't know, this thing came out in 1967, so it's old. It's also one of those movies where half the people who are doing ADR, I thought, this is a foreign film that's just been, they added English, and that's what this is. But then Christopher Lee shows up, and he's not. He's still doing English. ADR, but he's speaking
his
English.
His mouth is moving correctly with his voiceover.
Yeah, and that really throws me because, first of all, I can tell that the entire film is done that way. Like, it's all post-production audio. But, at the time, was this scary? Like, did people go,
Yes.
I thought it was really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was looking into, these oral histories of these things, like Lex Barker. There's a bunch of things that have been written about Lex Barker, and I'm so glad we finally got to see him in a movie because he's incredible. He is incredible. I am so freaking amazed. Like, I came into this thinking, Christopher Lee's going to steal the show. Nope, not at all. Yeah, not even a little bit. Mm. Christopher Lee could have been anybody, but Lex Barker as Tarzan. Alec Baldwin's grandfather or something he is incredible. Like, it's just like the look, the delivery, the way he presents himself in front of the camera. And I love that this guy was a pretty successful actor in the States, but he really found success by moving to Italy and then Germany. And he acted in German. They apparently overdubbed all of his lines with an actual German speaker, like a native German speaker. He was able to get these roles and perform in German. Mm. And that's freaking cool, man.
He's an interesting dude. I didn't know he died pretty young. He was only 54, had a heart attack while walking around New York.
Walking down the street, people saw him fall down and die at age 54.
But that name, man, Lex Barker. That's a big
name. It's like a porn name, 50s porn
He'll
name.
He'll always be Tarzan to me.
Yeah. But his career is full of these, these kinds of movies, like stuff you've never freaking heard of.
But the main thing is he is Tarzan.
He really is Tarzan. Okay, he kind of looks like Johnny Weissmuller, but you're actually saying he did play Tarzan in something.
He played Tarzan the most up to this point.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, those old Tarzan 50s movies, he's the guy with the barrel chest.
I swear to God, I thought those were all Johnny Weissmuller.
Johnny Weissmuller was like the previous generation.
He's
like 20 years older than Lex Barker.
Wow.
And it's so weird. But I just can't, like, just to finish off this guy. Born and raised in New England, right?
Yeah.
The direct descendant of the man who founded Rhode Island. And so has all of this like lineage and like this prestige to his family and his name. Ends up going to World War II. Gets shot twice in Sicily. He actually suffered as a soldier. He rose to the rank of major in the U.S. Army. Comes back and just becomes a very successful actor.
He's charming in this. He's even though maybe that's part of the reasons why I never get too worried when I was watching this film. This is old school horror. It's not really scary. Matter of fact, the whole thing feels like it was based on a Disney World ride. I mean, I feel like I'm riding a Disney World ride. There's the setup riding across the countryside. It's kind of, I think it's fun.
Especially this horseshit.
Oh, oh God, that made me laugh so hard when that music came on. I was
did. Wait a minute. You got this, and then you got the happiest torture mask ever made.
Yeah. With,
you
know, the, yeah.
smiley face.
They weave in and out of horror in this film is fantastic. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the original music. Like, that has to have been changed in...
Oh, yeah. Right.
Somewhere else.
For yeah. ADR.
Or something. Yeah. I would assume so, because it was so out of whack and out of place. It just And the fact is, you're supposed to kind of have this romantic moment. They're off in the carriage. He's in there and they're making out and they're like driving off into the sunset. There's no way somebody would go, hey, let's put a little
It's interesting because I was trying to go through the movies in my head to what led up to this. And I was trying to think, okay, horror movies, what led up to it? During the 70s, we had a lot of horror movies that were based on couplings, all the way back from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where it's like, okay, it's a, you know, this is a coupling movie. And there's coupling here between Lex and the Baroness and Babette and the fake Monsignor the
Friar. You know? Yeah, fake Friar.
Go ahead.
Did you think at some point when they were looking at the painting that it was going to be like, oh, we're actually brother and sister or something
definitely kept getting that vibe. I'm like, oh, we shouldn't be kissing. We're related.
Well, no, they started to lean into it early on. Like they were, didn't he say something like, hey,
they both had no memory of their past. And so you're thinking, we know what happens here.
I thought we were having a Luke Leia thing going on.
There was definitely some rape going on, like when we first get there, and she's like missing her memories. But I gotta say, man, I did not really feel that. I wasn't watching it going, oh, that's terrible. Hmm. It never gave me that feeling.
Well, she's supposed to be a virgin.
It felt so like
jointy,
like loony.
I kept going. Yeah. Well, she's really a virgin. Great, but I didn't. I got the feeling she wasn't, and Christopher Lee was in for some trouble because his
dude. What? None of those 30-year-old big boobed virgins back there.
Yeah,
virgins.
Yeah.
All right,
none of them were. Yeah, so
what
I kept
telling himself.
I'm like, the whole thing. Your concentrated virgin blood is tainted already. There, Christopher Lee, freaking Sauron.
Oh, it was way tainted because his second command had been mouthing that thing already. He'd already. That's how he's lived. Was by mouthing the bottle of virgin juice.
I love that guy.
Anatol.
Freaking love
whatever
that
his name is.
Yeah. Yeah. Babette, Karen Dorr was 28 when they made this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was, what's her name? No. Lillian, sorry. Christiane Rooker was Babette. Right. And she's 23.
She's still here. Still with us.
I can't say Babette without... going bad.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's a whole there again. It feels like a whole 5 minutes of the movie where Baroness is going bad.
You got so much Roger.
And this Christiane Rooker lady,
mm-hmm.
She is still alive. She's 78. She's living in Germany.
Yeah.
So watch your mouth.
Yep. Careful, everybody.
Did anybody else?
Probably not.
Did anybody else kind of ponder that this movie was actually made in and shown in West Germany? Did that ever cross your mind?
Not really.
I really didn't think about it.
I knew it was filmed filmed there.
Think about it.
Yeah, but entirely, like I don't know. It just like kept hitting me like, oh, Germany had been divided. This is, you know, it was not what we think of now.
No, not even close. But I thought all the outdoor stuff, I thought looked really good. Like,
I agree.
It looked awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, I was surprised because I expected, you know, when I saw the trailer, I was like, look at these shitty like cave effects. And like when they're in the chamber, it's like real bad. But when they were outside, it was like, I don't know, kind of Monty Python, Holy Grail vibe of like, wet, moist, clouded over, not a lot of sun. I don't know, something cool about it. I like that.
Yeah. The similar locations and that kind of. Yeah. I mean,
you could tell it was legitimately like, you know, part of Germany and they went to some old places that have, you know.
Interiors were apparently all constructed inside a film studio in Munich.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked.
You can't go visit that because it was torn down and it's immediately lost.
Oh, gone. Yeah. Gone, eh? That's awesome.
Oh, that's too bad. So they packed up the buckets and they got out of there, huh?
the what do you call a wall with spikes that pivots? I don't know.
Like, there needs to be a name for that. Come up with a name. Like, you know, there's the stretching rack.
back. There's thing. The Iron Maiden. Yeah.
Iron Maiden. The,
yeah. All that good stuff.
Well, the one she was on that Babette was going to go face plant into, I don't know what to call that. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
I know. It's only $49.99 at IKEA, though, which is great.
Right, right.
What I thought during that was, why would you make it go so slow? If you want to kill
it's
a lady,
torture, right? It's torture. The torture part.
But no. Yeah. What they did was they made it go so slow that she was liable to be rescued.
You know I see.
It's always the case, though.
It's torture chamber.
But that's the problem with every trap in this place was like that. Like even the little step she was on to go down into the pit of snakes.
Yeah.
It was like scooch, scooch, scooch.
Oh, don't make me bring the point of the story. They actually explained this in the story. He needed the blood, the virgins to be in great fear. They had to have a lot of adrenaline pumping through their blood.
Yeah. But still.
It's always such a fine line between too much time in the torture and not enough time in the torture, am I right?
So who is Dr. Sadism? Is Count Regulus supposed to be Dr. Sadism?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm assuming so.
Okay, that's just a dumb title. I don't get the title.
Is he a doctor as well? Where did he get his doctor?
Could make the case that Anatole was the real mover of all that stuff.
He did everything. He set up the place. He set up all the torture devices.
He serves the wine.
Yeah. That's right. Carl Lang's great. I thought he was my favorite actor in the whole thing.
For me, it is. This movie is carried on the back of Vladimir Madar as the monk / robber. He is just so interesting and funny. He's funny, guys.
He's okay funny. They dubbed a lot of stuff that it didn't seem right for the moment, but funny in a kind of presence kind of way. Like he was funny he had a great funny presence. Yeah, I will give you that. He looked little bit like the who's the Game of Thrones guy that lost fingers?
He did.
Davos.
He looked like him.
He did look a lot like Davos. Yeah.
It was getting a serious Davos vibe. It was amazing. Matter of fact, it might have been him.
When he would like maniacal laugh and then all right, where's Babette?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did anyone else call the end? Like halfway through the movie, I was like, oh. This funny guy is going to end up with one of the girls, and Tarzan's going to end up with the other girl. And
I kind of saw that coming.
I was actually thinking, I'll bet you the funny guy ends up driving the carriage. And Tarzan
knew that Tarzan and the Baroness would get away and that they would be a couple. But I honestly thought that we would get, you know, quote unquote gruesome grisly deaths for Babette and the friar, especially because the friar does the thing that happens in horror movies. He reveals that he's been lying the whole time, and it's like, oh great, easy way to punish him is by killing him in the film,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is by having his death be a sacrifice to save the other people. But no, the fact that all four of them survived, and I certainly could have predicted that Dr. Sadism Count Regula would be killed by hourglass running out.
dude, timer deaths, the worst kind of death. But here's the thing, though. Like the when's the last horror movie you saw where all of your
majors.
People you're supposed to root for, like in the beginning, like if this is a teen slasher movie, it'd be a car full of kids on their way to summer break, and you start picking off, all right, that guy's going to die like first, that girl's going to die right after that, they're going to die having sex, like you know who's going to die, and there'll be like one person left if you're lucky. This movie just subverts that and says, no, they'll all make it. It'll be a little heroin.
Everybody lives.
All those movies that you're talking about were like a counterculture of you know, just people who are sick of seeing the Scooby-Doo type horror movies.
Good
they
point.
Were ready for something serious and gritty.
That's true. I feel like the whole slasher genre pivots on that, right? That idea that they're all going to die.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I like a movie when everyone dies. And I know that sounds harsh or weird, but like Quarantine, I always think of.
Uh-huh.
It surprised me, and I've always appreciated that since, because it feels daring to say, hey, by the end of this all, we're going to Rogue One this shit, and
there's
everybody's
no
dead.
Final girl.
Yeah.
I prefer the traumatized victim. I prefer the trauma victim who comes back in the next movie.
And has to live out their life.
Heather Langenkamp in the first Nightmare on Elm Street kind of thing.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Why not? Give me somebody with some trauma who had to, who lives, but probably would have been better off dead.
I guess the Scream movies do that pretty well. Yeah. The carryover
the Final
people.
Destination movies probably do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, they got and a new one of those
This
coming.
Movie, like just to hammer down on the ending again, this is a Hollywood ending. This they yes, literally ride off into the sunset. These people are making out with the lady that's been provided to them, and they are happy. It's like they didn't actually go through all the stuff you just saw.
Yeah, it was very Hollywood. I kept on reminding myself this is not a Hollywood movie, even though it felt incredibly Hollywood. They were using all the formulas.
Just hit me, you guys. I'm sorry to do this, but we were discussing different eras and why they killed people when they didn't, and all of that.
Right.
And it just hit me like a memory, just smacked me in the head, and said, "Oh, in like a week or something, Hulu releases that new Hellraiser movie."
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited about the Hellraiser movie.
We ought to try to sneak that in just because it's new and it's Hellraiser.
Oh, it would be cool. Perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
We've seen
I don't know what it'll take to sacrifice, but I feel like maybe that'd be a good thing to do. I couldn't be more excited.
Let the Cenobites decide.
Yeah. The one in the back who's chattering. That one will decide.
I'm going to go get a box of Cenobites right after this.
I loved Halloween H2O, but I would be willing to sacrifice Halloween H2O. It's just my opinion.
I would too. I would sacrifice that for a hot new release.
This new Hellraiser has a bunch of younger, like rising stars. Like you would not recognize a single one of them by name, but if you like drill into each of them, like, oh, okay, I see.
In that movie, they'll drill into them, so it'll be great.
Literally drill into them.
Literally.
Was it good for you?
I'm unreasonably excited about it. I feel weirdly, I'm so weirdly drawn to care, whereas I cared nothing about any follow-ups to the original. Like, I never cared except for this show. But for whatever reason, I'm like, yeah, dude, 2022, brand new Hellraiser.
Yes.
Last year with Midnight Mass really ruined me for this. I realized like a couple days ago, I'm like, oh, I need something like Midnight Mass. You're never going to get something like that.
No, no, you'll get that when if you ever hear that dude, what's his name? Not Alex Garland, the other guy. I can't think of his name.
Callahan, something like that.
It's an Irish name, right? Shit. Anyway. He makes everything great, and I'd be all in on him taking on one of these old franchises. He did great.
Oh, it would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love him. What's his name, though? I'm annoyed.
Shanahan. Galahad.
Galahad. Callahan.
Who are you referring to?
Tippy O'Brien.
The showrunner for Midnight Mass and House on Haunted Hill and...
Mike Flanagan.
That's Flanagan!
That's Flanagan. How dare you get my name?
Get out of here with your fake name, Jimmy.
Anyway, back to the torture chamber of Dr. Sadism.
He apparently has a couple of things underway. He's got a series called The Midnight Club and another one called The Fall of the House of Usher. And
Usher one is controversial because, can't think of his name, Oscar-winning actor. Anyway, got in trouble because he made some pass at a girl on set, and he's like 80 something. I can't think of his name.
Right.
who was in Frost v. Nixon? Nixon.
We talked about Langella, Frank Langella.
Frank Langella. He got in trouble and kicked off the joint.
So really?
He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I can't remember who they brought in, but they brought in somebody else.
I always get him confused. Wait, is he the guy who played Darkman? Well, I guess they're Darkman's enemy, or am I confusing?
No, that's the guy from L.A. Law.
Benny.
But they are very similar. You're not wrong about those faces.
They are very similar, and I would get like the two are so confusing to me. Like, was that guy, or was that the other guy?
Yeah, Langella was the one in Dave. He was the jerk in Dave.
Right, right.
I have breaking news. Updating myself.
Yeah.
Mike Flanagan's The Midnight Club is premiering on Netflix on Friday.
Oh, this week?
Cool.
Hold on. I don't even know what this is. Is that beautiful wife of his in there?
It's
going to
be another effing scary Flanagan Netflix thing.
A group of five terminally ill patients at a hospice begin to gather together at midnight to share scary stories.
I'm in. Oh, I like that.
Oh, like an anthology?
Yeah. And look, his wife's not in this. She's almost in every one of his things. I really like her. But Zach Gifford is back from... Midnight Mass from your Friday Night Lights, Zach Gifford.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Cool.
All right. I didn't know that.
And then you're saying what's her face is back that looks like
No, she's not back is what I'm saying. She's out this
Oh,
time.
She's not back. Oh, yeah. The more and attainable Katy Perry.
Yeah, the more attainable Katy Perry. That's the one.
And it's also got Heather Langenkamp, you know, from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, I just mentioned her in the
talked about her a second ago. That's funny. Yeah, none of these other, I don't know anyone else in this, but yeah, I'm all in, dude. I didn't know that was dropping. Yeah. I'm in the mood for this. Halloween this year, for whatever reason, I am so in the mood for it. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm going
way further than I ever did, which is usually nothing, in decorating the outside of the house for Halloween. I picked up a like a super cheap projector, and I've got some flimsy screen, and I'm actually going to be projecting ghosts in one of our windows every night up until Halloween.
Nice. Yeah. Love that idea. I'm thinking to do the same thing. Yeah. Do you guys think that maybe the Baroness was doing more than teaching piano lessons to the local Rubes? She had a pretty good bit of money.
Way to steer things back.
Yeah,
she had a pretty good bit of money. I'm thinking maybe she wasn't the 13th virgin. Mm. I begin to think, I don't think you can make that kind of money with her. Well, maybe that's not true.
She did have a little knowing wink and a smile.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she would make more money.
All the demure nerd virgins I know have less.
Insults.
All the demure sort of virgin types that I've ever met usually don't have that much cleavage.
She was keeping the virgin level high in town by piano teasing all these guys. Is what you're saying? I got you. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, here's the deal. Maybe the way they define a virgin back then was different. Maybe it was like,
Oh, they only had sex three or four times.
Yeah.
I actually just, someone that I follow on TikTok that's a biblical scholar was talking about how the older languages, virgin meant had never been pregnant.
Okay. And I can see that's actually pretty good. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
All right.
And that, so that kind of
all
like,
men are virgins.
Yeah. All men are virgins. Women are only virgins until they have child. That's a weird definition. But that was like that makes sense, I guess.
I don't know if I'm really remembering that perfectly, but it helps me kind of like understand some things like this this movie, which
widens good old Anatole, then it's a lot of material to work with.
And his green blood.
Yeah. Oh geez. You know what? For special effects, I normally don't gross me out, but for some reason, just like that blah, blah, blah of his green blood on the glass. Bleep.
Oh, really?
Didn't like it.
It just felt like squirting paint. The thing that surprised me, like, all right, we've got their little crap stop motion and like deaths and bullet holes patching up and things like that, but the biggest cop out is, look away when my master is rising from his glass tube. And they just watch the shadow.
Puppet. And that was almost my intro. I love that scene so much. It's like, don't look. Okay, I'm not looking away.
I got a question about the drone.
Seriously. What are they hiding? Like, he just stood up.
Yeah, he just sat up. I don't know what the big deal was there. So when drawn and quartered, how'd you get all that back together? What was that magic that did that?
Oh, didn't you see like magic. His arms were sewn, or like he had his like shirt was sewn back together and stuff.
Yeah.
I assume his arms were as well.
Okay.
Listen, Anatole was the man. Like he did everything.
He's a skilled physician.
He had costuming. He had cosplay stuff out in the. Yeah. I don't know why he did that little house, the guest house. I don't know.
What was that for? What was the guest house bit for? Can you explain that?
Vetting.
That
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out too. Left a coin. The coin. Did every coin ever come a thing again?
No.
The coin. I was like,
no. Those were all stupid plot MacGuffins. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Because none of that mattered later. That was just a way of saying, ooh, creepy house. 70s zoom technique. Here's his face.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. That was just a weird.
I was trying to. I haven't read the story in forever, but I did. I really loved the Vincent Price Pit in the Pendulum from like 63, I think. Mm-hmm. That's a much superior film, of course.
That's one I've never seen that. I'll bet. Yeah. Back in the 70s and 80s, Marvel Comics did this thing where they were doing maybe Marvel Classics or something like that, where they would take classic novels and give them the comic book treatment. And that was one that I remember probably more than any of the other ones was
Horror
the Pit and the Pendulum.
During the 70s.
Yeah. And it's the only thing I can compare it to, if you've never seen them, is that secondary story in the Watchmen comic book, the Black
Oh, what, yeah, the Black Sails.
Black Sails, or the Black, whatever the pirate ship storyline
right,
is.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt a lot like that. And those things were so well drawn.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great introduction to some of those classics that I've never gotten around to actually
I miss
reading.
Straight up horror comics, because we'll put our superheroes occasionally in those horror comics, but
well, you got your Werewolf by Night comics thing coming. I don't know how scary it'll be because it's Disney freaking plus, but you know, it's it's a throwback.
I want you to know I am very proud because I have the first 25 Marvel classics.
Oh, nice.
Oh, do you really? And that's what they were called. Did I get the name right?
Yeah, Marvel Classics or Classics Illustrated? No.
Oh,
they're Marvel Classics.
Yeah,
I love that stuff.
I'm looking at my spreadsheet of my comic collection
nerd
in the garage.
Nerd, freaking love that stuff though. So good.
They're like, some of them are horror stories, and then some of them are really, really not. Like
it starts
with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It includes Hunchback of Notre Dame, and it includes Dracula. Dracula's number 9.
But no regular.
But those weren't intended to be, it
wasn't intended to be horror. It was just intended to be like, hey, here's Ivanhoe or.
Exactly. Yes.
Right, yeah. Right.
The Three Musketeers. But a surprising number of them are horror, and you can see why. Like, that's really interesting reading in a time when all you have for entertainment is reading, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Unlike the whatever time period this was, where all you had was looking out the window and having
No. Apparently, at this time, at the original time of this movie, you had a guy who comes to town with a huge whiteboard.
Yeah.
Right.
Gather around as I regularly the tale of.
In this picture, you can clearly see the.
I drew this myself. Do you like it?
Yeah.
I was mad at this movie for giving me the expectation that there were going to be live action boobies by showing me a drawing of boobies. And then there was never any live action boobies.
We saw drawings of quartering. No quartering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could not get the title card like off the screen before Tina came in the room. What are you watching now?
Yeah. It's like the only inappropriate half down blouse peak is
she's upside down, so it's up blouse, but
there you go, blouse, right?
Oh yeah, good point.
Yeah
So the credits, okay, so we always talk about how old credits used to do all the credits before the film.
End up front, baby.
This is definitely one of those, but it was a weird way of doing it because normally you just run the credits, but this was like the long perp walk from
walking a mile getting right with Jesus.
Where you get all the German einen Film by Dieter von Dorfenheimen.
Tell me somebody else thought about when you go to a really, really popular like theme park or a baseball game and you had to park miles away. Mm. Like that, seriously, did anybody else think of that? It was so ridiculous.
But that's really funny, actually.
No, that's good.
Just say it.
Yeah. It's really good.
So ridiculous that this guy was just walking and walking and walking. Like it reminded me of going to a hockey game in Austin, and it was the hockey arena or whatever had been constructed in a neighborhood, and you basically parked in, you know, where as close as you could get to the thing. And so, like, I went to a hockey game where I literally parked a mile away, like 1.0 miles from the thing, and then walked that whole way, you know, and it takes you like 20 minutes to walk to the.
Did you walk in your wooden shoes? Because whoever was doing the Foley work was working some serious wooden shoes. Oh my God.
Rocking some wood.
On with it.
Yeah. He was sporting some wood.
I want to be the Red Hood.
Yeah,
that's what I want to be for Halloween.
Okay.
The Red Hood.
The for Batman, you want to be Batman's the Red Hood?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Not that Red Hood. This Red Hood that's in this movie.
Okay.
This guy shows up.
Yeah, that Red Hood guy. I thought we were in for some real dumb stuff with him, but it was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
Just whipping a horse to make it run away.
Even then, he got the mask carrying job, and then he got the whip the horse job.
The axe.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking.
At first, I really haven't given much thought to quartering. You know, as you get older, you're like, when I was young, I was like, oh, the worst would be being beheaded. But then you realize as you get older, it's like, oh, that's actually with a sharp blade. That's the most humane.
Instant.
Whereas like quartering, like literally they were torturing him to admit, is there a pulling the, you know, the limbs out of the joints, to admit confess his all the stuff he had done. And so, but then at the end, they finally just rip you apart. And I guess you just toss about there, I guess, for a little bit until you bleed to death. I guess you just flopping around for a little while.
It sounds like a really rough way to go, but
not good.
If you ever want to see a really dark version of that happening on screen, I would recommend the Sean Bean movie.
He's always Sean Bean, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did he die in that one?
Oh, yeah. Black Death, I believe. Hold on. Let me make sure that's right. Yeah, Black Death, this movie from 2010. It's him and Eddie Redmayne, and it's actually I really like that movie.
Oh, nice.
He gets drawn and quartered, and they don't hold back, man. It's like, woo.
Yeah. That's a terrible way to go. I'm gonna take back the things I said about I don't want to be beheaded. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and just get it over with.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. That one's got to be the best, right? Like I'm sure there's this moment of like your brain's still going and you sort of still see for a sec, but you know, your pain receptors, what do they even do with this information?
Yeah, there's no pain receptors because it's like, oh, I'm not feeling anything. Why not? Because there's no, my face is maybe a little itchy, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's about it. My face is itchy.
could you scratch that for me? Could you get that?
And I'm out.
And we're going to get emails about this because I'm sure there's some study that says, oh, well, based on a monkey test, the monkey's head lived for longer than we thought they do or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, but sitting there just blinking your eyes, I guess. You'd be in trauma and your brain would totally shut down anyway. So that sounds like the way to go. I'm pretty sure you're not in enough trauma at first when you're getting drawn and quartered. It's slowly probably your heart probably just explodes. I'm sure it's like,
oh yeah. Like what would you even do? You know what? I'm with you. Let's do it this way. No. It's either that or if you threw me from an impossible height, I don't want to do it from three stories or something where you can survive it. But me off a 30,000 feet airplane. You know, get off my plane and then kick me off.
Oh, no.
You're just the opposite of me, Scott, because I'm not afraid of flying.
Such a long time.
Yeah, but then you enjoy it. If you got the right attitude, you're enjoying it.
If you got the right attitude.
There's no way you can say, well, I'm going to just forget about what's going to happen at the end of this ride and just enjoy it. No way.
But you won't feel it.
The breeze.
You won't feel it, though. You'll clobber into the ground so hard, you'll be dead instantly.
Tell that to my brain that's going, ah!
Yeah, I don't know if there's any guarantee that you don't feel it. There's not enough of like a at the end of all this you're guaranteed
the impact
to feel
I'm
it.
Not worried about the impact. I'm literally just the fear, the absolute adrenaline pump of fear that would happen between it. And I guess that's what this movie's about, right? It's about the torturing, that's way worse than the actual death itself. It's the impending death.
And I agree with this whole idea of the torture is horrid. Like just the idea of being.
Yeah, sure.
So I tried to put myself in these stupid situations, like the giant pendulum swinging axe thing. Yeah. If you're laying there and that thing's slowly inching toward you and making that horrendous noise as it passes by, I mean, that is legitimately freaky. The movie doesn't do a great job of conveying that fear, but if you really put yourself in that situation, what an awful deal.
Imagine if it's according to how much it goes down each time too. Like if that first slice comes through and just cuts the skin, like right, and then it comes back and it cuts a little bit deeper, and you have to go through all of those cuts. Before it hits your spine.
Exactly. Whoa. I mean, basically, until you bleed out, you're experiencing that whole feeling all the way down.
It'd be cool if you could lift up like a major artery and get nicked early.
You could raise your hips.
In the Edgar Allan Poe version, he's got some meat that they've fed him, and it's all bloody, and he's able actually to use the rats, which were there for no reason in this film. Just like, rats, and two of them are humping, I think. But you've got, you know, the rats bloody smearing on the ropes that are holding him, and at the last second, the rats chew through the rope. He's able to dive out of the way before the pendulum gets him.
But Lex saw the rats, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that. That's not the scene. That's not the scene.
Yeah. No. It's like, geez, give us something.
Did you guys know? I don't know if you've ever heard how Edgar Allan Poe died. I'd like to read you something here because
it's gruesome. Yeah.
It sounds so appropriate for who he was and what he wrote.
It was a liver problem.
So here's what it is. So he died, by the way, 118 years before this movie got made. That's just a fun little side
note. Lucky him.
October 3rd, 1849 was the year. Poe was found delirious in the streets of Baltimore, so he was here, in great distress and in need of immediate assistance, according to Joseph F. Walker, who found him. They found him in, or to say, he was taken to the Washington Medical College, where he died on the 7th. later that week. It says Poe was not coherent long enough to explain why the dire condition happened, why he was wearing clothes that were not his own. He kept calling out the name Reynolds all through the ordeal, going, Reynolds!
Reynolds!
And it said, some people say Poe's final words were, Lord, help my poor soul. At the end of the day, like, they've tried to retrofit what actually happened, and cause of death at the time was listed as congestion of the brain, cerebral inflammation. Probably that just means, I mean, he had really bad alcoholism, and they think
He had alcohol and drug problems. So that's probably related to that.
But now here are all the things they think he had when he died: delirium tremens, heart disease, epilepsy, syphilis. meningital inflammation, cholera, carbon monoxide poisoning, and freaking rabies. He had rabies.
Those are the possibilities. Those aren't all of the right. things.
Yeah,
those
but think, like but think of that. Like, if you die, I hope they just say, oh, it's a heart attack. Oh, it's an old age. Oh, it was whatever. In his case, like, we're not sure, but it could be a thousand things.
They only had one test. It's, you know, they press their fingers to the neck and say, yeah, it could have been rabies. Could have been this.
So I just want to pick at something. Please forgive me, Scott.
Go.
But you said Poe was found delirious in the streets of Baltimore. And then you said, so he was here. What did you mean here?
America.
Baltimore's
United States.
America.
Right. But, I mean, Poe lived his whole life in Virginia.
Yeah, I know that. I knew that. Yeah. No, I just meant.
Why did you say he was? I'm confused.
Oh, I don't know. He was just here. Like, for whatever reason, it wouldn't confuse me if somebody said, oh, Poe died in Prague in a ditch or something. Like, it just sounds right.
Yeah, because writers of that era, they travel a lot.
Yeah, and he doesn't sound like, in my head, Edgar Allan Poe is. He has nowhere to live. He lives in the sky. Like, he's a. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. To me, it seems significant he's just an American guy. Boring.
You've clearly never toured around the part of the country that has Edgar Allan Poe, like, historical sites and stuff.
Edgar Allan Poe is more like it.
I like Edgar Allan Poe a lot. By the way, he was only 40. What the frick? Jeez, man. Wow. He went quick and early, and I guess that was probably
that was the average life expectancy back then.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably about right.
And like, if you go look at the last picture of Edgar Allan Poe, he looks 60 at least.
Easily 60.
Yeah.
I mean, his hair is at least not all gray, but he's a wreck. Like, here, look at this photo I'm about to put
That famous painting or draw of photo of him.
This one, I think.
Why are you taking my
picture? Bags under his eyes.
Where am I?
He looks like shit.
What is that smell? Did I shit myself again?
I feel like if you untied his tie, it would go, and under there would be just horrible.
He's only got his top button. It looks like they just propped him up and said, okay, let's make you presentable here. Button that top button there. Yep. There we go.
Sure. Yep.
And then smile.
Yeah,
that could be a posthumous photo is what you're saying.
Right. Looks like it, right? Stick a little rod up his butt.
He was in the army for a while, by the way, 1827, under the name Edgar A. Perry. That's a lot less cool.
Is that his real name, maybe? Yeah, or is it?
It might have been, but.
Time for the horrifying tales of Edgar Perry.
Yep. Edgar Perry. Okay. So he was born Edgar Poe. I don't know. The Allen, I assume, was always there.
His parents were named Poe.
Maybe he was embarrassed by Poe.
Are we Poe, Mom and Dad?
Sometimes I thought we're very Poe.
You don't have to be Poe anymore.
That's a state of mind, son.
That's right.
Hey, Poe.
Hey, Poe. You don't have to be Poe. That song has new meaning now, because when he went to the army, he didn't have to be Poe anymore. That's amazing. Well, anyway.
I was surprised that when this movie was out, this was during the 60s, right? Wasn't Gillette like sponsoring all TVs and movies and stuff
back in the day? Yeah. But this is
Gillette
a
pendulum. I would love to have one of those.
This is like a foreign film, though.
Pendulum Gillette.
Yeah.
The director, all he did was stuff like this. Harold Reynal. But maybe? I feel like we need to like queue up more of his business. He's got like some crazy shit. A lot of it's German and not English at all. In fact, most of it. But like The Carpet of Horror and
that's a good one.
Sinister Monk. I mean,
I like the one called Hellhounds of Alaska.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
I was hoping to see those on my trip.
We don't have Hellhounds enough in movies anymore. We need a Hellhound movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Mm. Chariots of the Gods. That sounds like fun. That was one of his last movies.
Kind of had hellhounds in Willow, which we just watched for TMS couch party.
Oh yeah, oh. That was fun. That was fun, but also a great reminder why the Willow movie is not as good as people think it is. It's bad. It's pretty bad.
I want to watch 1959's Face of the Frog. Is that just like is that a stab at the French, or is that a real frog? I want to know.
It's just a guy. It's a it's a comedy. It's a comedy about a French guy. Yeah. It's about his face.
Also had Dieter in it. Dieter was in all this guy's films.
Yeah, they were buddies.
Dieter was the driver guy, right?
Like the Flanagan's wife Dieter. Showing up and all coachman. This stuff. Yeah. You know what? I like when people pull around actors that they enjoy working with. For whatever reason, there's something about that that makes me feel good when I see it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just always feel good about it. It's like, oh, Christopher Nolan, you making a movie? Well, I'll bet Tom Hardy's in it. Or, you know, Cillian Murphy or the three or four other people they always use. Oh, and that Oppenheimer looks good. I'm looking forward to Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer Schmidt.
Anyway, let's see. Stop motion a second. So old movies where people would get shot and it had no effect, and the way it would work is it would create a wound and the wound would seal up, kind of, you know, Wolverine style.
Yeah.
I love stop motion fake skin. I love it.
Yeah. Is that stop motion they just reversed the film?
It was total stop motion.
Did you love it in this, though? Because it's hard to make it look.
Oh, it's shitty. That's why I love it. It's skin, garbage. It's horribly done.
The skin looked like somebody took, I don't know, like Big League Chew and put makeup on it.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's terrible.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And when they died, same thing. It's like their faces were a little clay. You see little thumb marks in it. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But did you recognize the Bond girl in this one?
No. There's a Bond girl?
No.
Helga Brandt. Yeah. Our lead, Karen Dorr.
The Baroness was a Bond girl?
Yeah, the Baroness.
Oh, apparently, I didn't know that at all.
You Only Live Twice. She was Helga Brandt.
Okay. Oh, really? They just used her name?
1967. Same year, right?
Oh, Helga Brandt. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. No, I didn't recognize her at all. Wow.
Swedish, is she?
The Bond girl in You Only Live Twice is Mia Hama.
Mia Hama.
Yeah. So I guess she was
She was number 11. No, she was known as number 11, though. So she was actually on the Bond side, right?
Was she?
Okay.
Wait.
Secret no, she was
organization. Spectra. Okay, I'm wrong.
She was a Spectre number 11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Randy's point is correct. Like, there's always the secondary Bond girl every movie. Yeah,
you got to back up. You got to back up.
You got to back up, girl. If Bond is sleeping with a girl by the hour mark, you know there's at least one more Bond girl coming.
That's right.
Yeah. And that one's going to die probably.
And I just need to give you a quick update. We are still tracking From Russia with Love. It's not yet streaming for us.
But not on the film sack
radar. We're tracking it very, very closely.
Nice.
As soon as we can, we're going to go to the second Bond film.
Nice.
And sack it the hell out of it.
Well, I will say she's very, very, very striking. She's very pretty. Mm-hmm. Human.
Yes. Yeah.
She worked a lot. This person had a huge career, 53 right up till 2010. Or no, I'm sorry, 2006. Yeah. She died in 2017, just recently here-ish. But yeah, like of all these people, she had she had a really good career.
Karen Dorr. Yeah.
I mean, Christopher Lee, we've barely mentioned Christopher Lee, but this feels like, and he's fine in it. It just feels like he was getting a paycheck to me. Just shows up.
Yeah. He just shows up a couple of times.
He doesn't even have to be menacing. It's just a matter of like, okay, now sit up and go and sit down in this throne. Okay. Now, look menacingly at your table full of bongs.
Yeah. Probably a whole generation of people who only think of him as Saruman, right? Like that's just the way it is.
Well, and Dooku.
You buried the lead on Karen Dorr.
Oh, did I? What did she do?
She was married to Harold Reinl when they made this movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I didn't know that. I didn't bury it.
It's kind of shocking to me. Like, they had been married for over a decade when they made this movie.
Oh, and there are a bunch. And she shows up in a ton of his other movies, I just noticed. So, yeah big Makes collaboration sense. Era. Hmm. That's interesting. Christopher Lee. Let's see. When did he die? 2015. So he's the luminary career here, right? Like nobody else comes close to this. This is like your guy.
Especially not for us.
Plus he was in his first thing in 46 and that's a long ass career.
And unlike most actors, it just gets better as it goes.
Yeah.
You usually find someone peak at some point, like in their 50s or their 60s or whatever. And then it's kind of downhill. Mm-hmm. This guy made all of his most famous movies in the last 15 years of his life.
Oh, easily.
Right.
And and then ended up, he didn't seem to be too picky about it. He's in like tons of video game work. Like, I didn't know he did so much voiceover. Mm-hmm. He was in, oh, he's in an upcoming one that, oh no, that came out already. Never mind. But yeah, there's like the Kingdom Hearts games.
Oh yeah.
He was in the Clone Wars video game as well as obviously the movie. EverQuest 2. That's crazy to me. I don't know why I didn't expect that, but well done.
And I just want to be clear. I'm not arguing that Christopher Lee wasn't really, really famous in the 20th century. It's just mind-boggling to me that like he didn't get his OBE until 2001. He was knighted in 2009. Yeah. Like that, like, I mean, he was famous, but he wasn't that famous until really, really late in life.
Yeah, not till Lord of the Rings. Up till then, I'm looking at it prior to that. It's mostly like a couple of memorable things. Sleepy Hollow, he was really good in that.
Oh, yeah, really.
The Tim Burton one. Mostly British TV and a lot of movies you've never heard of. And then suddenly Lord of the Rings, and then boom, Christopher Lee having the time of his life in his freaking old age. Boy, if that's not a lesson, you know, sometimes you peak old, you know?
Yeah.
So don't worry, guys. Our time's coming. Our ship will come in.
I'm peaking old, baby.
Yeah. Our ship is yet to come in. We're not even close to being there yet. So don't worry about it. Film Sack's going to see some days.
Christopher Lee, star of Police Academy, Mission to Moscow.
Oh, my Lord. Oh. That movie sucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on my resume either.
No. That movie's a bacterial growth in film. It's bad. Really bad. Like, I don't think any of the follow-ups to those movies are very good, but that one in particular.
We like it more for its what it was at the time, just dopey fun. But even the first one's not a good movie. And when you start off with such a low.
Yeah. Where they really blew it for me is at least the first one was R and had R-rated content, and it felt edgy and like we're up to something here. And then they went PG on everything. From then on. And one of them, I think, was like direct to TV or something. And there was still the same cast. I'm like, Gutenberg, you got to get out of here, man. This is some bullshit.
You got to get out of here, Gutenberg.
But the song is amazing. I could listen to that any day. I do love the music. Anyway.
I've just been digging, and I don't think Christopher Lee was ever nominated for an Academy Award. That's a little bit strange.
What?
He did win a bunch of like these lifetime achievement fellowship awards and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The two movies that got him best actor nominations for the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy and Horror were 1973's The Wicker Man and 1979's Arabian Adventure.
Damn.
And I don't know that those are good movies.
Probably not. I mean, they might be good for us, but you know. You never know. He's real quick here. Born Christopher Frank Cardellini Lee.
Cardellini Lee.
I always like birth names for these folks. And he did service in the Finnish Army. Garden. Let's see. Wait a minute. Yeah, Finnish Army, British Home Guard, and the Royal Air Force. He was like committed to the war business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he served in like three different terms in three different places. I don't know why you're in the Finnish. Was he born in Finland? Hold on. No, he was born in Belgravia, London, England. Why would he be in the Finnish army? That's weird.
You could do that back then.
Could you? You just go over there and go, excuse me. And they went, we are translucent people. You can see our hearts.
You guys are fighting. I want to fight. Can I fight too?
Yeah. Can I do that? Says Christopher Lee in his famous Southern accent.
Right. Yeah, that great Christopher Lee voice.
Well, what else? I mean, the movies, it's fine. This is one of those where I really enjoyed watching it, but I'm not about to tell you that this is a great film. It's just kind of there.
I enjoyed it. It's a short film.
Yeah.
But it's a really long 80 minutes. Like, there's so much that doesn't ever happen.
It's a long.
I disagree. I'll be honest. I must be getting old because I miss movies. The MTV ruined everything. They didn't really. But yeah, I like a movie that takes its time. I think a pendulum requires that it go on for a while because that's the whole point, right? So all the torture stuff kind of fits in well for me for it to kind of go slow like this. But
for a pendulum to feel dangerous, it needs to you need it to get to the point where it is very dangerous quickly and right. then stay there for a long time, as opposed yes. to it's just way up in the ceiling.
This is where I think Lex Baker or the director or somebody kind of failed, because Lex never seen the Roger never seemed like he was worried about the pendulum. And that was the problem. Whereas Karen Dorr's character, the Baroness, you know, every time she snake pit, it's yeah. like she got in this. I love the snake pit room, by the way. She goes in. It's like, okay, no big deal. It's just a little dark room. No big deal. We'll slow our light down here. Oh my God, it's snakes. And then yeah. she starts losing her shit.
And a green arm, by the way. Do you guys notice the blue green arm yeah. that was down there?
Like a yeah. mannequin arm yeah. down yeah. there.
That there was weird. So many there mannequin arms and yeah. limbs yeah. that were in trees and stuff. Yeah, I almost yeah. like made that limb.
But also, I just don't get it. Like the snake pit's full of skeletons and snakes and then one blue green arm. And yeah. it's like, okay.
It was someone they just realized wasn't a virgin. She's fairly fresh.
Right, right. I didn't understand the mannequins in this film. It was weird.
Yeah. They were supposed to be people. They're like,
yeah.
Yeah, like dried, like,
yeah, they're supposed to be fresh, people.
Were, dead people.
Yeah. Were they, though? Because we had, at one point in time, we had Anatole who was supposed to, he was like practicing the move that he was going to put on the Baroness for, or Babette, I forget. He was going to practice the move for sucking the blood out of her, you know, her arteries. But then he did on a mannequin. He's like, okay, cool. And then he walks over. I didn't get that whole scene. Yeah. Also, I didn't know beakers were afraid of crosses. Whatever. I'm not judging your movie.
I love this is a trope, by the way.
Oh, hold on. We haven't been able to play that today yet. Here.
These are vampires. We're talking yeah. about vampires. Oh, they sure. need vampires. They're undead immortals and they need virgin blood to live, but they never say the word vampire the You're entire true. Movie.
Yeah.
And the trope is called not using the Z word. It usually refers to zombie right. movies where they don't say zombie. And I just love it. It makes me so happy when you get to the end of the movie and they never said it.
Yeah. Was it? I felt like it's been a while since I've read Dracula proper. Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I felt like the beginning kind of mirrored what was going on in this film. This is definitely a mismatched. It's a bunch of stuff put together. I can't say the word. It was a bunch of Porky Pig that shit right there for you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just mishmash. Is that the word? Mishmash. Yeah, a bunch of stuff together.
Sure. That's good too.
I knew
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba, mishmash.
That made me laugh,
but I was trying to find all the different things, because the pit and the pendulum, the one with the 63 version, was it felt it was a lot different than this, and there was a lot of drama behind the
behind
the pendulum. It was
you
very
apparently need imposing. To see that
yeah. So the pit yeah. and the pendulum, hold on here, okay, not the 91 one, that's
no the 63 version with Vincent
Price.
Yeah,
I want to see that now. You got me. Yeah. You got me curious. I bet I find it on. Oh, hey, the world would like to know a little piece of trivia that Dunaway made me do. So he's been, you know, extolling the virtues of things like Tubi and
Tubi.
Fubo, or not Fubo. What's the other one you like?
Fubi.
Pluto.
Fubi is Fubi. It's kind of like
Fubi?
That.
Fubi.
Fubi.
Is
yeah.
it really Fubi?
I thought it was Fubo. No.
I think that's right. Isn't it right?
There's no, it's Fubo. It's Fubo. I just
Fubo. It's Fubo. That's right.
Yeah, Fubo TV. Anyway, but mainly Tubi. Yeah. Tubi in particular. To yeah. some extent, like Freevee and some of these other new ones. But yeah. these commercially supported, like tons of content, some live stuff, all that, whatever. I've mostly thrown water on your idea, just like whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah.
like,
yeah. Bah, whatever, Brian.
But I ended up going down a pretty deep rabbit hole on Tubi, and here's the nice thing: not that I'm trying to cheat Tubi out of money, but yeah. if you use the Brave browser or use any browsers with blockers or anything, it just blocks the ads. There are no ads.
It does. It just blocks the
they
ads.
Don't seem to
which
care.
I hate.
Yeah, they don't
do that.
Yeah, you don't. You like commercials? I hate them, so I'm good. But right. I watched like Unforgiven the other night. I watched a whole bunch of episodes of The Rockford Files on there.
Yes,
like it's just kind of great. So anyway, yeah. I'm saying don't be like me and just shit on it for no reason. It's actually kind of a good service. It seems all right.
By the way, The Pit and the Pendulum was 1961. It was a Roger Corman film.
Mm.
Believe it or not. Whoa. And it's actually, I thought it was really good, and it rates pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to find this, and I'm going to mark it as something.
Barbara Steele, John Kerr. It's a good one.
Oh, and the reason I brought up Tubi is it on there is what I was going to ask, because maybe it is. I don't know.
That's a good question. Oh.
63,
This movie we watched this week is definitely, was on there. I think it got pulled recently.
The big question is, are any of these worth thinking about for a film sack?
Yeah, like I think The Pit and the Pendulum might be.
I'd love to watch it again.
Because why not? I like Vincent Price. I like old shit. This looks like it's got a giant blade swinging in it like you want. It's IMDb has it as 7 out of 10. That's pretty strong.
You're not bad.
You know what? I'm not going to say no. I would say yes. I would say yes to The Pit and the Pendulum if we ever got around. Whether it's, you know, October or not, it seems like a good one.
And the answer to your question is yes. I am looking at the Tubi version of Pit and the Pendulum from 1961. MGM's. Yes, it's there, hour then. And 20 minutes.
It's on there. That's great.
I said everything's on it.
It's good. I'm just surprised how much I enjoyed my time on it, and I feel like I owe Dunaway a little apology.
We interrupt this apology for commercial. Ha!
My biggest problem is the names. You know, like there's Tubi and there's Hoopla and there's Voodoo, and I'm just like, at some point, I can't keep this straight.
Yeah. Name it something logical, right?
I do. Well, Freevee.
There's too many.
Well, IMDb TV was there, and then they changed it to Freevee, right? I preferred IMDb TV because at least it told me, oh yeah, IMDb, I love them. Been there for, you know, used them for the whole internet life. I love it. Cool. They got free streaming stuff. I don't know why they changed it. They probably know better than me, but I don't like it. Freebie.
There's
makes
one
me
called Mubi, M-U-B-I.
Oh yeah, Mubi.
This is too many.
Mubi. Movies. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Is that like, just movies with
boobies? Well, we have a 4-letter word. We get the domain.
Yep. We got this huge collection of booby movies. Let's call them Mubis.
Mubi.
Yep. We're going to be Mubi.com.
Sure.
Anyone got anything else before we do clips? No.
Oh my God. I made more notes for this film than I've made.
Really?
Quite a while. I didn't mean to, but yeah, it was just like, they just kept coming at me like, oh, first of all, I wasn't sure about the set. There was like two movies here, the going to the castle and the actually being at the castle.
Yeah.
And the Seven Deadly Sins, were they just thieves? Were they just, what were they doing there? Were they actually, was it just the, you know, all the locals getting all this stuff confused? Plus, I love the idea of riding into town and then going up to the first house you see and banging on the door and say, bang, 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 bang. Hey. I need hay for my horses. Bang, bang, bang. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do that with my gas when I get to some little, some little small place. Outdoors. You got some gas for my car? Thanks, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was all kinds of questions. Second story yellers. I don't know why there was every time I turned around, there was somebody yelling out of a second story window.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I love that, though. That's a great time. That girl going, grandfather, can you help this man? He's trying to find Butthole Castle. And he goes, F that, and shuts the thing. It's like the most like.
Yes, it is bottle glass windows. I did write down, it'll only hurt for a second, oh, really, which I think is a reference to they put that spiky mask on Dr. Regula in the beginning, or Count Regula. And he screams, but then he's just like walking along with him during the credits, like, okay, that's pain's over. Yeah, no problem. Good now.
It didn't help that it was smiling at us the whole time, just with a big grin on it. Like, an odd design. Yeah. They didn't need to do that. They should have just made it horrifying, not smiling. Why would you make a smile? Who's that?
Yeah, I didn't understand why all the doorknobs in door openers and everything in that stupid torture place was like skeletons of gophers and stuff. I couldn't follow. I was like, these doors open as I can't get out of the room. And it's like, boom, they walk out of the room. It was all very confusing.
So when they first got the girls there, they drugged them, right?
Something? Absolutely. She was drugged, which was hilarious because she thought she was the Baroness of the house.
Yeah.
And she was going around showing people stuff.
But why would a drug do that?
Welcome to my home.
In 1967, drugs were kooky.
Mm. Yeah. And plus, she was a hysterical woman. We were still in hysterical
woman. Yeah, we were still in hysterical woman territory. That wouldn't end for a while still. We had a good decade of that left. But the idea that you'd go in there and go, all right, here's your pill. Oh, I've taken this pill, and now I believe I run this house. This is my castle. It's just
hello,
weird.
Welcome on the Baroness. Would you like piano lessons? Come in.
I like that she's the queen.
Prepare the roast beef. Somebody call Arby's.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Called Arby's. Oh, we want all the roast beef.
Monty Python.
When she looked down that hole, here the movie made a horror movie mistake. He goes, go over and look in that bowl or whatever that was.
Yeah.
So she goes like over there and she looks in there and it's him down in the pit.
It's a little portal to that. Yeah.
But they never showed her reaction to it. She just showed her putting her head in there. What's the point?
She just stood there with her face in the hole.
Yeah.
Like Harry Potter. Can I stop now? I'm really getting tired of this.
It was like Harry Potter and that freaking thing he did.
Oh, the bowl of remembrance or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and the little wispy boogers would come up in his ears or whatever.
I loved you to come back up, and her eyes were all black and stuff because he was playing a joke.
Shoe polish on the bowl. Rim.
They just laugh like jackasses back there.
And then he goes, torture!
That would have been funny.
Sucker!
That would have been great. All right.
I have one more note I just want to touch on.
Go.
This movie has a great trope, the heel face turn, where Peter Fabian has revealed himself to be a bad guy, but no, he needs to be a good guy. And redeem all of us. I love the heel face turn. It's seriously, it's one of my favorite things in movies, when someone who has been sort of working against the protagonist decides to join the protagonist side. And it reminded me of one of my favorite things. I'm just curious if anybody else has a movie in mind where they love it. That, you know, I don't know, like in Moonraker, when Jaws comes over to the good side.
Yeah, sure. That's hard to beat Jaws. That's a pretty good one. You're like, oh, yeah, look at that.
I mean, there's the famous Vader one.
That is absolutely a heel face turn.
Yeah, where Vader does like a triple take. Look, before he does anything, he's like, I'm looking at Luke. I'm looking at the dude. I'm looking at Luke.
What's his face in the third Ocean's movie, Ocean's 13? The guy who was the villain in the first one.
Benedict.
Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about him.
So for some reason, this movie reminded me of Pineapple Express. In Pineapple Express, Danny McBride is like a bad guy, and he keeps trying to kill the main characters, and they end up like tying him up and leaving him for dead. And then he somehow survives that and joins them.
Right.
For the record, Danny McBride, even in his lightest comedies, always plays a terrible guy.
Right, that's true. Yeah. It's easy for him.
And I love it. Don't get me wrong. Well, I think the Righteous Gemstones might be one of the best shows on TV.
Did you ever watch, was it called Substitutes?
Yeah,
it was
about the principals. School. Principals, right?
Principals, yeah. Yes, yes.
Loved
right. Or Vice Principals.
Or Vice Principals. Was it Vice Principals? Whatever it was. I loved that. So good. I don't know why Walton Goggins is so involved with McBride, but I love it.
I don't know, but keep those two together playing off each other because they're fantastic.
They're so good. It's like the perfect mix, and you'd never guess until you see them together. But yeah, he's great.
I just Danny realized McBride. That
I love him.
My love for the heel face turn trope makes me a huge hypocrite about Snape, but I can't forgive Snape. Huh. And I don't want Snape to make the heel face turn.
Well, Snape, but he doesn't really. He was always on Potter's side. He just didn't know it.
Yeah, he's like that dicky teacher. He was like, I love that. I love this.
Well,
character.
But remember the way that story went down. He was always on Harry's side, but he could never let on that he was always backing him, and also mainly to protect his.
I'm calling myself a hypocrite. Okay. I'm so mad when he's torturing Harry early on that I can't ever forgive him.
Whereas
in a movie like this one, I totally forgive the monk robber. You know, I have no problem forgiving him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you forgive him,
Fabian, how dare you?
He'll turn around as soon as you forgive him. He'll go. He'll make that sound.
Right. I did like that he kept producing more guns. It's like he had a gun, but then he had two guns, and I'm like, okay.
No, that guy was a storage locker for guns. Walking gunman. All right, let's do those clips. Here we go, everybody. Yeah. These are some clips from the movie. Early Christopher Lee moment.
I shall destroy you and all your family.
Well. Okay, but you didn't do it. Yeah, you didn't do it.
He tried. He got close.
The audio is so bad. I wanted to point that out. When I say, I don't mean the acting. I mean like
I shall destroy.
Everything's in a weird, like an oven. Like they're talking. Yeah, just a horrible sound. Anyway, here's this little girl doing the same thing. She's horrible. Her voice, by the way.
I love the little girl.
No, she's terrible. She's terrible.
Could do it.
Admit it. Here it is.
Fire! Your clothes are all covered with dust. If you want, I'll brush them.
Yes, if you like. Can you tell me where the castle Andamai is?
Andamai? No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it must be around here somewhere. They say it's in the Sander Valley.
Grandpa, this gentleman's looking for a castle. Andamai, it's called. Can you tell him where it is?
Gosh dang it, dude.
I little loved girl voice by a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I loved about it. It was so anime. Because every time it makes you feel weird. It's like, why am I looking at a little girl? Yeah. And hearing a 50-year-old lady's voice.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah. No offense to 50-year-olds.
She's silently jumping rope while delivering her lines.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what was all that bumbling around?
Because horses always weird. That the effects people, the sound effects people need to be quartered in this movie.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Or just drawn. You don't have to quarter them, but drawn.
Yeah, drawn. Just draw them.
Draw them. All right, here's
like French girls.
Here is Count Regular. That's what I wrote. I don't know why. Here you go.
Count Regular was the last to live there. That's where he killed the 12 virgins.
Oh, geez. All right.
Actually, he didn't kill them as much as he put them in suspended animation because they were there for 30 and 5 years, and they finally just disappeared once. Like those weird town people wouldn't have been down there at the unconscious booby virgins.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting in that castle,
100%.
Untouched.
100%.
By the way,
whatever.
This was before they could make real lifelike, looking people. So those poor women had to sit there, especially the upside down woman, for long periods of time, not breathing. But I just felt bad for the woman whose the blood must have just been constantly rushing to her head.
Upside down.
Thinking that too, because you're right. They didn't use dummies there. No, that would look really bad.
Maybe some dummies
because they signed up for it.
Well, that's right. True. Well, they were German dummies, and you know what that means. Actually, it means nothing. All right, moving on. Here's the roast beef thing that I used at the top.
I love the roast beef.
I love this.
Roast beef.
One of the roast beef.
That has a Dunaway sound to it. I'm going to play it again.
Roast beef.
That thing at the end. That sounds like you, dude.
A little bit.
Fog.
It's getting foggy. We're going to have a hard time of it. Go on. Fog or not. If you say so.
Everybody in this movie needs a lozenge.
Or better mics. All right, let's do scary movie laugh. That goes to Ibbot's intro. I like that.
Yeah.
He has risen, everyone.
Frederick, Count Regular, is risen from the dead.
Welcome to my house.
Welcome to my house.
My house.
Yeah. It's a pretty good little bit there.
Welcome to my house.
It's just a very Christopher Lee, very, here's the ball or whatever. What they call the ball in Lord of the Rings? What was that called? The magic ball he had hidden in his tower. What was that called?
Palantir.
It's my Palantir. Okay. All you need is blood concentrate.
I was able to take some of the blood concentrate. So I have returned after 35 years for my revenge.
Yeah. That's what you pay him for. You got some audio from your mom, Ibbot, but it's not for prom or anything. I guess you were a little backed up. Constipation is a thing. Sure. People deal with it.
Sure.
And
it happens. It happens.
It does happen. And your mom gave you a bunch of Miralax or something. And after you took him, she said, well, how long do you think this is going to take? And he said this.
All I need is a few hours.
There you go. And it all worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're here now, so obviously it worked out.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's true.
So everyone, don't worry. It's that was years and years ago. Okay.
Well, it's still using. Still on the Miralax. Once you start, it's really hard to stop.
Oh, yeah. You're hooked on the Miralax. Here is
the Lax. I just call it the Lax.
Yeah, the Lax.
The Miralax.
The Mira. Here's the what the hell is this I wrote? Because I don't know what it is. Here it is. What the frick?
I love that.
Yeah, he's weird. He's a weird dude.
What's his name? The neighbor and family guy. What's his name?
That sounds like. You mean
Glenn?
The creepy guy.
Giggity. Giggity. Giggity.
Glenn.
Doomhauer.
I like that. Dang, I'll tell you what.
I can't think of his name.
Doom.
Giggity, giggity. What's his name?
Quagmire.
I didn't know what you're talking about. He said, giggity, giggity.
All right. Anyway, then there's this, which we played earlier, but I'll play a little more. Yeah, this is how the movie ends.
Now that's Family Guy as well.
The fact that
the first time they show it, by the way, that horse is totally dancing to the music. Like they've timed it somehow perfectly to where the horse is trotting like.
Why though? Why in a movie that's supposed to be a horror movie, you play this British comedy stuff at the end?
It's like they oh, we don't have the license to use the dun 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 dun.
Yeah, good
so
point.
Let's use whatever we can afford. Yeah. You know the song I'm doing, Dunaway. Come on.
Yeah, we know the one. Anyway, it's a good time, but now we're done with those, and now it's time for the checklist. Oh, look at this checklist we got here. We got the trees are made of people. Check. That's cool. Most nervous carriage driver of all time. A check. And cross power. Check. I always like when crosses really do some business.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess they are vampires. I mean, they didn't really bite people, though, right? I don't know. Whatever.
No, they boiled it down and extracted it. It's weird.
It is weird. All right, Star Trek connections. I don't know if there are any because I kind of peeked myself to see, but Randy's the official on this. So
not even close. Like, okay. Not even close. Okay. So I've decided for this segment that we're going to construct a couple of Kevin Bacon-esque connections.
All right, go.
So the director of this movie was Harold Reinl. Mm-hmm. He co-directed The Living Word with J. Michael Hooser. J. Michael Hooser worked on the miniseries Comanche Moon. And then I'm like, with James Rebhorn, wait a minute. James Rebhorn was never in a Star Trek show. Did you know that?
Really? Oh my gosh. Wow,
that's crazy.
How did that happen?
I would have never believed it if I hadn't looked it up today. I'm shocked. But Comanche Moon fortunately also starred Carl Urban.
Yeah.
So that's better.
There's your connection.
Yep. I can do better though. I'm going to go with Sir Christopher Lee and try to get us there in one step. Sir Christopher Lee was in the newer Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Mm-hmm. Sure. And he was in that movie with none other than Deep Roy. That's right. Deep Roy, who played Keenzer in Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness and Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
And anybody remember Keenzer?
Oh yeah. I remember
He's the funny looking little blue guy.
Like, yeah. He's
all I can think of is Flash Gordon.
His only purpose, is for Simon Pegg to make jokes, right? Yeah. Like that's his job.
Yeah, his little crust. He was kind of crusty. He had like lizard like scales or something on him. He's blue, but yeah, I remember him. Yeah. By the way, Comanche Moon, awesome show. It's really good.
Carl Urban.
Yep, Carl Urban, Steve Zahn, freaking Wes Studi's in that. Mm. You mentioned Rebhorn, other people. Rebhorn, the guy that was the lawyer at the end of Seinfeld. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Oh, and he passed away.
I was just so happy to get after two steps to get to something. I'm like, can't believe that this guy wasn't in Star Trek.
Let me see if I'm right about this because it's going to annoy me about the Seinfeld reference. Hold on 1 second here. 98. Here we go. Well, I can't find it. Fantastic. Moving on. let's get to that soundtrack grade. I give it an S for shit. I think it's very bad. I don't like it at all. Nothing in there is good. In my opinion, and if anyone has any
movies where you think an amateur could add better music,
yeah, mm-hmm. I could have added better music, and I'm not even an amateur. that music's for like Wallace and Gromit or something. It's so
it's for an Italian hair commercial, is what it's for.
Yes, my hair is so soft and floofy.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I hate it. All right, let's get to this Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The torture chamber of Dr. Sadism, also known as the Blood Demon, also known as Die Schlange in Grube und das Pendel, also known as Blood of the Virgins, which happens to be my signature drink at my bar. Come down for happy hour from 5 to 6 p.m. Happy hour should always be 1 hour long.
Nice. And you said schlong. I like that.
Yeah.
Badunaway.
The torture chamber of Dr. Sadism. They killed 12 virgins in this movie. 13 if you count my inner child. Count Regula as part of a complete breakfast.
No hashtags today? No hashtags?
Hashtag tasty.
Oh, hashtag tasty. Okay, that's good. Hey, Brian Ibbett, follow us up.
Yeah. The torture chamber of Dr. Sadism. For its time, a perfectly adequate horror movie. For my time, I'd like $7.50, please.
Well, that's a good modern rebate. Yeah. You should get that.
Is that inflation?
That's definitely inflation. Yeah. These movies were probably 60 cents or something back then, I think.
Easily. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, there are some alternative titles that were just handed to me on this card here.
Yeah, do it.
Let me open this card up. Let's see what they say. Here we go. It was almost called the 13th version, colon, there's no way she's a virgin. Interesting.
There's no way there's a virgin.
title number two, Slow Blade. Okay, moving on.
Slow Blade. I like that.
Yeah. Like in a sling blade.
I call it a slow blade.
That's right. I've been thinking on killing you a whole lot. We got to watch it. I love that movie. I want to watch that. Maybe
even
not for
film
sex.
They would have just added the sound of somebody sharpening a knife when it went back and forth.
Yeah.
That would have made it far better.
Instead of whoosh or whatever they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always bugs me in video games. You know, like when something is just swinging through the air and they have to add a sound.
Yeah.
But in a movie like this, I would have preferred it.
Yeah. Or just be more subtle. Sure. Like, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was me farting after too many breadsticks. All right, moving on.
That was that wind tunnel she was in.
That was right. The spiders and scorpions.
Yeah, my anal glands have just been expressed. Here's some emails that we got from listeners. This is filmsack@gmail.com is how they get here. We'd love it if you guys would all send us more emails. We'd love them. Patricia wrote in, "Hey guys, based on bits and pieces I've heard on various podcasts regarding actors, one or more of you guys would be watching anything. I have two suggestions." I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, William Devane. Is in this movie. Can you sack Family Plot? This is Hitchcock's last movie in 1976.
Oh, really? Yeah. William Devane, huh?
I never saw that, so that would be an idea. She also wants us, because we talk about Tom Wilkinson a lot, and we like him, says, "You can. Why don't you sack Rock and Rolla, Guy Ritchie's 2008 film? Rock and Rolla is an awesome movie.
It is really good, yeah.
I don't know if we'd want to sack it or not, but maybe.
I'm sorry to say Family Plot isn't streaming, and... It looks real good. It has Bruce Dern, Karen Black. Yeah. This would be a really fun movie to sack.
Yeah, I'd be down for
that. We'll keep it on our watch list for when it becomes.
Watch eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Rock and Rolla is currently streaming on HBO Max. So if we were to get around to that. That's a very cool movie. Gerard Butler, Wilkinson, who else? Thandie Newton, or Tandy, whatever she says it. Mark Strong, Idris Elba, Tom Hardy.
Wow. Oh, what a cast.
Good Lord, you guys. Let's watch Rock and Rolla. It's a great movie, so I'm not like, it's not a hard choice.
Hard. Yeah. No, but we don't always have to watch the bad movies. We can sprinkle in some good ones. And
yeah, that's right. They don't all have to have controversial bullshit in them either. They can just be a movie.
That's right.
I just looked up all Hitchcock movies, and there is one that is streaming, and that is North by Northwest.
Oh, that's a good one.
We did that though, right? Or no, I watched that with Tom. I watched it with Tom Merritt, and I always think it was here. It was for Current Geek Film Festival thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really.
It's not super sackable. It's a good movie though.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with
not Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant.
Cary Grant, right. And the airplane chases him.
Yeah. He has a big chase on top of the Mount Rushmore.
That's right. And they had that restaurant up behind Rushmore that I didn't know existed that may not actually exist, but I like to think it does. And I want to go there. I've never been to Rushmore. Yeah. Has anyone else never been there?
I have.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah.
Was it cool?
It's impressive, actually. It's so like the viewing area is so, it feels so far away from it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It was cool. We also saw Crazy Horse, and that feels like something that will never ever be finished.
Yeah, that's true. Did you they don't let you up in the nostrils or anything, right? You can't get up.
Oh god, no. You don't, like I said, the closest you can get feels like you're still so far away from it, like
damn it,
like a couple miles or a mile away from it or something.
And Cary Grant was crawling all over it in that movie.
Yeah. I don't know how he got to it, but
special permit or something, or maybe they were less weird then. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll bet you more than 40 years ago, you could just go film anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, it might have been a replica.
I was going to say replica. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Cary Grant got special permission to go up. That's my Cary Grant. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Judy.
We will consider both of those, Patricia. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. It also got me looking at the Guy Ritchie movies, and a bunch of them are streaming, and a bunch of them are just kind of good, and I don't know that we really would want to sack them.
The recent-ish one, The Gentleman, I still haven't seen and really want to. I wouldn't mind doing that with us. I hear that's great. It's McConaughey and apparently like a mind-blowing performance from, who's the British actor that got a BJ from a hooker in L.A. back in the day?
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant is supposed to be like mind-blowingly good in it. He plays a mobster head of a mob.
I did see it. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. You saw this. Okay. Yeah, I did see that. I really want to see that movie.
Sorry, I was in the process of getting ready to send you a photo of the Mount Rushmore replica that's so close to you, Scott. It's in Lehigh, Utah. At
what?
The,
that's like 20 minutes. I could go. Wait, show me this.
It's like a it's at an amusement park mini golf course or something in Lehigh.
Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can see it from the freeway. It's her head is only about half the size of those heads. They're not very
right.
big.
Yeah, it's super like it's basically the fourth hole or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I never golfed there, but I always see this when I pass it and I'm like, yeah, I should go there sometime. It looks like a cheesy good time, you know?
Yeah.
Might for still sure. have to do that. All right, let's do this email from Jeff in Columbus, Ohio, who says, greetings, Sackers. My friends and I used to attend the 24-hour movie marathon held by a local theater every Halloween. That sounds fun. The marathon showed a large variety of scary movies, only some of which were actually scary. Over the years, various celebrity guests visited the marathon to watch movies with the crowd, including Bruce Campbell and Neil Marshall. That's cool. When Neil Marshall visited, we watched the first full-length feature he directed, Dog Soldiers. According to Neil, the movie was never released in the U.S. because studio execs said it was too British. We had a lot of fun watching it, and we think it would be perfect for Sacktober. The only downside is it's never streaming for free, but it is available to rent on various platforms. If you ever want to watch, or if you don't want to watch it for Sacktober, I'd recommend checking it out when you get a chance. Love the show. Jeff, I've never heard of Dog Soldiers.
Dog Soldiers.
Have you heard of this? This sounds totally
I think I've seen something about this before. A routine military exercise turns into a nightmare in the Scotland wilderness.
2002?
It's 2002.
Oh, this looks like fun. Yeah, look at this. This looks like a good time. Sam Pertwee? I like that dude. Kevin McKidd? Liam Cunningham? There's your the dude from Game of Thrones with the fingers missing. That's him. Liam Cunningham's in it.
Oh, really? Davos?
Yeah. British squad. Let's see.
It's on the stars right now.
Seems like it's... all right. That's one to keep on the watch list, I think. That sounds interesting. Nothing's too British for me. I'm in. Let's go. And that guy, that Kevin McKidd dude from... there's so much coming together today because that's the guy from Rome and... whole bunch of other stuff, but also was a stint, a couple seasons on Grey's Anatomy. Anyway, he's one of the guys on the Wheel of Fortune celebrity thing right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So everything's coming up stupid today. This is great. Anyway, email us filmsack@gmail.com if you've got comments similar to or to follow up on anything we said here today. Okay? We'd love it. Please do it. Real quick, Patreon mentions. Man, the Patreon's doing great. We're so grateful for all of you guys for supporting it. And another slew of new names this week I would like to read. Open Bayou, Justin Jeffries, Brap, Sven Oldenburg, Jarrett Baker, KCNHD, and Holly Cuppy. You guys are awesome. And if you would like a commercial-free bonus content every week, monthly special content from each of us, one coming up from Randy here shortly because it's a new month, all kinds of reasons, stuff in the mail. There's all sorts of reasons to join. So do it today at patreon.com/filmsack. And we're probably getting pretty close to shipping out those magnets, right, Brian?
I am. Yeah. I was actually going to talk about that after the show. I finally got the padded envelopes that I was looking for, and, it's just going to be a matter of printing out labels, slapping them on there and, getting them out to everybody.
Awesome. We were, very excited to do that for you guys, for those at our top level. So thanks for doing that.
You're the tops.
Yeah. You guys are the tops. You're right. You're the tops. Mm-hmm. You're not the bottoms.
You're the tops. You're the Tower of Pisa.
You are the best. You are the thing. I don't know that song.
I can make it up as it goes on.
filmsack@gmail.com or sorry, patreon.com/filmsack is where you want to go for that. Our next film will be shit. What is it? I forgot.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, The Haunted Mansion.
Disney's The Haunted Mansion from 2003.
The Eddie Murphy business, right?
Eddie Murphy business.
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Never saw it.
One of my actual favorites. I actually like this movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
First time for me. So
I can't wait to rip it apart.
You're not going to hurt my feelings, none. Look, that's like somebody complaining about a McRib. I can't believe we eat that crap. Well, I do.
Yeah, you do. Every time it comes out, Dunaway.
It's trash.
You got a McRib on the air on TMS for us once. Do you remember that?
Do it again.
Do you want to do it again? Let's do it again.
As soon as they come available.
All right.
I would like to understand my relationship with the McRib because every time, like I'm tracking it, I can tell you it's going to be here in about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to eat a McRib, but then I go get like two of them and I eat it.
No,
butt to butt. And then I'm like, no, I don't want another McRib ever in my life.
You only eat, you can only eat, your body can only handle one McRib at a time. Mm-hmm. That's as many as you can eat at a time. If you eat two, then you're doomed.
I mean, people can do it, but maybe don't do it.
Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't.
One at a time.
Yeah.
That's why they sell them one at a time. They don't say, do you want the McRib 2-pack? They sell you one.
Oh, McDonald's might start doing that. They have, they have gotten to where they're bundling things. Right. And like, it's becoming ridiculous, guys. Like,
I want my McRib Happy Meal.
Yeah.
And then I'll be happy.
When's that happening?
The Happy Meals are already out. Have you seen the toys? They're pretty cool. They're like these abstract toys and stuff. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. Got the old, you know what's funny? So we've been having this conversation on the morning show, TMS. Me and Brian have talked about it a couple of times, but like Taco Bell and other chains are having a hard time even getting employees, let alone retaining them. Yeah. And they're shutting themselves down in the middle of the day, like busy times. All this stuff's like crazy, weird stuff. And it's not just them. It's a whole bunch of others. Yet McDonald's seems to not have this problem at all.
Yeah.
So I did a little digging. They have the highest pay for every employee. They do 15 minimum and more for the most part. Even if you're the most basic, like cleaning the floors guy, you're getting $15 an hour. They have more medical benefits. They have a college program.
Yeah.
I think as much as, you know, me eating McDonald's is not a great idea. I think they might be like, everyone says, oh, Taco Bell be the only restaurant, like that movie with Stallone. Yeah. I'm not so sure, dude. I think they got a problem. I think it's going to be McDonald's. Oh, they seem to be figuring that shit out.
McDonald's is like they actually thrive in a poor economy. So yeah.
Yeah. But they also, they just seem to be taking care of their people, which is, I don't think anyone else is doing that. Dude, we're about to enter a weird era. I'm telling you, of fast food. I mean, I'm not trying to make it seem like doom and gloom, but we're like food and chains and stuff. There's going to be a pulling back of some kind. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying suddenly Taco Bell goes out of business, but just a receding, not a recession, but a receding, like, oh shit, we got to rethink how this works because too many people are, they don't want to work here because this is shit. Anyway.
By the way, if you happen to be in London, England, you can go this get week. A McRib right now at the, there's one McDonald's in Catford Island.
Yeah, but what do they call it over there? Like, it's a pork leaf Figaro sandwich or something.
Pork moldings,
pressed meats.
I like pork moldings.
Yeah,
because it's true too. That's true. It is a pork totally molding. Yeah. Well, good job, Britain. You beat us. Let's move on to this. This thing. Oh, our next movie. We talked about it. Okay, so that's the Disney Haunted Mansion deal. In the meantime, though, we have a website you can use all the time. Filmsack@gmail.com. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. Again, that Patreon is patreon.com/filmsack. And hey, if you're out there reviewing shows on various services, why not throw us one while you're there? It really helps us. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
The blood is the life.
We'll see you next time. That's true.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.